The following is the funeral service for Donald Bryce Carter, held Friday, February 15, 2013, at 10 a.m. at Faith Reformed Church in Anderson, California. The Reverend Henry P. Bowen presiding. Beloved, we gather here in memory of our beloved brother and friend, Don Carter, who was called home into the presence of our Heavenly Father a week ago Thursday. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Let us pray. Our almighty and gracious God, our Father in heaven, you are our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Lead us, we pray, to put our trust entirely in you. We come to you in the name of your only begotten and well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died for our sins and rose again. We ask you to grant us peace and pardon through his precious blood and joy in the Holy Ghost. And seeing that we have in Christ a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, we come boldly to your throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help us in this time of need. We thank you for the precious promises of your word. We praise you for the light of the gospel, and we acknowledge your sovereign will and infinite compassion. Be pleased, therefore, to look upon our sorrow, and for the sake of your dear Son, enable us to hear your holy word, so that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we may have hope. Grant us the consolation and peace of the Holy Ghost. May we hold fast our confidence in your forgiving mercy and blessed assurance of eternal life. We pray through Jesus Christ, who bore our sins in his own body on the tree, who rose from the dead, and is exalted at your right hand. Amen. Please be seated. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, the Apostle Paul pens these words, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, but not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. As God's Word brings to us comfort, let us respond by turning in our hymnals to hymn number 44. Donald Bryce Carter, 86, of Anderson, California, passed away peacefully at his home on Thursday, February 7, 2013. Don was born on June 26, 1925, on the ranch off Old Highway 99 in Herbert Carter. He graduated from Anderson High School and was a United States Air Force pilot during World War II, where he developed his lifelong passion for aviation. After the war, he graduated from Cal Berkeley with a degree in civil engineering. Don worked for the New York-based international engineering firm Tibbetts, Abbott, McCarthy, and Stratton for many years, which allowed him to work and travel all over the world. He lived in Asia and South America before coming home to Anderson, where he operated his own professional civil engineering and land surveying business for over 40 years. Don also served as the City of Anderson Planning Commissioner for many years. He was an avid skier and loved sailing, tennis, his dog Muff, birds, reading, popcorn, ice cream, and all things mechanical like fast airplanes, cars, and navigation instruments. Don was preceded in death by his wife of 50 years, Teo, in 2010. Don is survived by his five children, Leia of Villa Park, Ethel of Anderson, California, Victoria of Seattle, Washington, Phoebe of New York, and Allison of Napa, California, and nine grandchildren, his brothers Paul Carter of Lake California, Glenn Carter of Hillsboro, Oregon, and his sister Joyce Romero of Laytonville, California, and 10 nieces and nephews and extended families. Don was a loving father, husband, grandfather, and friends to all. We will miss him dearly. We offer our deepest gratitude to Don's three excellent caregivers who supported him and ensured his independence, Dan Brown, Betty Admiral Young, and Nancy Hutchins. Let's again take our hymnals and turn to hymn number 460, Amazing Grace. Of all the passages of Scripture, one that is most loved and most precious, especially in events such as this, is the 23rd Psalm. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Beloved family and friends and people of God, in the Bible there is a group of writings known as the wisdom literature, for these books tell of life's many experiences and what wisdom is to be learned from the episodes of life. One such book is written by a man identified simply as the preacher. And in it he reflects on the vanity of life apart from God. He closes in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, with this observation on the end of the life of man. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. You know, many people have the misconception that a funeral is for the one who died, but it really isn't. It is for those of us who remain, who feel the sorrow that comes with the death of a father or a brother or a dear friend. Don's last years were difficult for him, but his hope for the perfect peace found in God was his great comfort. Today, we can have the confidence that Don is resting in that peace. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus calls to us and he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It is the same tone that is so much a part of the theme of the 23rd Psalm. There we find the Lord described as the good shepherd who leads his people through the difficulties and heavy burdens of this life to dwell in the safety of God's presence forever. The Psalm literally unfolds in these three thoughts. First, that the Lord is our shepherd, or to turn it around, we are his sheep. That is the source of comfort for the Christian. The first question in the Heidelberg Catechism is a summary of what we believe that the Bible teaches. And it says, "My only comfort in life and in death is this, that I, with body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and redeemed me from all the power of the devil." The theme of Jesus as the Good Shepherd is so prevalent in Scripture that it becomes the banner for the Christian in our belief that ultimately no harm can come to us because we are preserved in the very power of our Almighty God. It conveys not only the idea of comfort, but also a sense of awe that I belong to God. All that I have, my money, my business, my home, time, family, it all belongs to God, and it is used not only to serve my family, but to serve my God. The reason that this brings such comfort is that our God is no tyrant. He leads us for the purpose of bestowing upon us good things. In following him, he directs us to a green pasture where peace and nourishment for the soul are to be found. Literally, the psalmist says, "He restores my soul." You know, in the face of death, the difference between being a Christian and not knowing Christ is the most profoundly evident. The Christian sorrows in the light of the promise of God's salvation. But the one who knows not Christ faces death with no hope. Often, the world will refuse to face the clear pronouncements of the horrible outcome that faced the death of the non-Christian. But that does not sweep away the horrible sense of despair. Death for the Christian, however, is an entering into eternal rest. Only through the salvation which God obtained for us through the death of his dear Son, Jesus Christ, can one escape the ultimate consequences of sin. God has not made it hard. To find this salvation, one needs to merely believe, to find the power of that eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Don was passionate about his love for Jesus. He was always one of the first to church on Sunday morning. Even after age began to make attendance difficult, he still sought to faithfully come to worship his Lord. He was one who intimately lived by the 23rd Psalm. Secondly, the continual presence of God is our comfort. Not from, but through adversity, God's presence brings us comfort. God does not lead us around the valley of the shadow of death. It says that he leads us through it. the protection that he affords us is to come out safely at the other end. This life is a test. It is filled with all kinds of difficulties, temptations to draw us away, tragedies to cause us to despair, losses to lead us to become angry with life. The world seeks to trip us up at every turn. But God leads us through these things, using bad and even evil circumstances to turn us more and more unto God. And the Christian is able to rest in that confidence that God is in control and that He is allowing things to take place for the purpose of bringing us more into an intimate relationship with Himself. We are better able to face the adversity. Sometimes the only way we can get through the adversity is to trust in the rod and staff of God by which He leads us through. David here paints a picture of the Good Shepherd leading His sheep through very dangerous and difficult paths, and yet the sheep are not afraid. They know the Good Shepherd will not allow anything to keep them from coming through the dangers. And the third source of comfort, ultimately it is the final deliverance that stands as the source of comfort to the psalmist. God provides for us all things that are necessary for our life in God, even before our enemies. God desires for our enemies to see His goodness bestowed upon the saint. That is the way of salvation. Many a foe to the gospel became a friend by viewing the life of the Christian. The good works of the believer often become the occasion for winning others to Christ. The Christian delights in that path of righteousness, for there he is refreshed by the streams of God's goodness and the fountain of His mercy. It is by these that he truly feels the life God intends for him. Man shall not live by bread alone, the Scriptures say, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Why? Because the Word of God is powerful and life-imparting. It converts the soul and it delivers us from the burdens of life into His rest. The psalmist understands that this life is at its most primary level to be concerned with only one thing: that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Life is a struggle. But it is a struggle so that we might better understand the glory of entering into that house which God has prepared for us from eternity past. Salvation is about deliverance from this evil world into His perfect holiness. As the Apostle Paul describes the contrast, death is an entering into a far better place. And yet it is hard because of the bond of love that God builds between us through love that creates a desire for us to stay in this life. God lived a full life, and now He has entered into that far better place to rest in the comfort of His Savior. But for us who are still here, let us be mindful of the privilege we have to dwell in the house of the Lord here on earth. We need to count every day precious and look for the goodness of God in every moment. The words of Psalm chapter 90, verses 12 and 17 are sound instruction. It says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen. Let us pray. Our Almighty and most merciful God, consolation of the sorrowful and support of the weary, who does not delight in grieving or afflicting the children of men, we pray that You will look down in tender love and pity upon Your servants in this mourning household, whose joy has been turned into sorrow. Be pleased to uphold, strengthen, and comfort them according to the multitude of Your mercies, so that they may not faint under this adversity, but may find in You their strength and refuge. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Receive God's benediction. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. This time, if the pallbearers would come forward.